Call it by its Oregon name, Oregon Trail, or by its California name, Cal Fresh. At heart, it's still the same program, the federally backed Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Many people still refer to the program as food stamps for the paper version that preceded today's plastic EBT cards. The federal government filed a rule change that will remove eligibility for SNAP from some people receiving other federal benefits. Our guest has crunched the numbers and finds that perhaps a quarter of a million people in our two states stand to lose benefits. That would be 66,000 plus in Oregon and nearly 196,000 in California, by the numbers crunched at Mathematica by Sarah Laufer, who's a senior research programmer at Mathematica. Sarah, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff.
Good to have you. A few terms we still need to work through. Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, is still called food stamps by many people, but paper coupons have been gone for years now, haven't they?
They have been, yep. So the federal government has made the transition to what you called EBT cards, so that individuals have the money automatically loaded onto their cards. They're able to use them as though they were credit cards, rather than having to keep track of paper food stamps.
Mm-hmm. The name food stamps certainly seems to have some durability, though, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It carries a connotation as well.
All right. What would be the connotation, then, as long as you mention it?
The reason that food stamps, the words have stuck around for so long is because they're memorable, but as well because it's a very obvious form of welfare of people trying to receive food assistance.
All right, so we established already that it's called Oregon Trail in Oregon and Cal Fresh in California. Tell us a bit about Mathematica and what goes on there.
Sure. So Mathematica is a public policy research. We do a lot of work for the federal government as well as state and local governments and a few nonprofits, really just trying to crunch the numbers and analysis and data to support any decision-making that happens at the policy level.
So is Mathematica officially nonpartisan?
We are nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's just about the numbers and the facts. You just want to run the numbers and see what the effects of policy will be.
Exactly. We really believe in evidence-based decision-making and making sure that all of the data is available for those who will be making the decisions.
Okay. So did USDA hire Mathematica to crunch the numbers on the changes proposed for SNAP?
So that's an interesting thought. So it was a combination. So the federal rule that went out, there were numbers included within that rule. We have a longstanding with USDA and provided those numbers for them. The analysis that you're referring to, the interactive map that we published, is actually in cooperation with Rob Johnson Foundation. So they reached out and requested that we do a little bit of work to look at the state-level impacts of this rule change.
All right. We lost a little bit, I think, to a VoIP clip or something, but Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is what you said?
Exactly, yes.
Okay. So we're primarily asking about the change proposed in July, but have there been several over the last 2 years or so in the SNAP program?
Yep. So the Farm Bill, what we refer to as the Farm Bill, was up for debate last year. And so a lot of changes were proposed at the federal level when determining what changes to make to the Farm Bill for the new release this year. And they ended up not making a lot of changes due to some stickiness in the government and some pushback. And so once that closed, the administration pushed forward this proposed rule to end BBCE.
All right. BBCE is another one of those acronyms that's going to take some explanation here, but it involves a crossover of programs and benefits. Is that right?
Exactly. So broad-based categorical eligibility allows for households to qualify for SNAP but don't meet the federal SNAP asset and income limits. And in order to do that, they would have to be enrolled in a TANF program or another welfare program and then meet the eligibility requirements there.
Okay, so this is a crossover with TANF, or the Temporary Assistance to Needy Families?
Exactly, which a lot of people just think of as cash assistance.
All right, and it is temporary, as you point out, hence the name. We're talking to Sarah Laufer, a senior research program at Mathematica, about a crossover of benefits at the federal level between TANF and SNAP, TANF being Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, SNAP being the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or food stamps, Cal Fresh in California, Oregon Trail in Oregon. Join the conversation. Ask questions. Make comments. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So with BBCE, the broad-based categorical eligibility, if you were receiving any TANF benefits, you were automatically eligible for SNAP?
TANF funded and non-monetary benefits, yes.
Mm-hmm. Non-monetary benefits. So how would that be supplied?
That could come in the form of job training programs, assistance with resume building, things like that, where you would receive support from the agency, but you wouldn't necessarily be receiving a cash benefit.
Okay, so people who would be getting something that would involve direct payments then, and they would be considered eligible for SNAP. Now, just during the period they were receiving the TANF benefits, or just ongoing?
Just during the TANF program benefits.
So did the Ag Department just propose a level at which the benefits would not be automatic? I mean, how did they decide what the cutoff would be?
So the federal government is actually proposing just to remove BBCE and retain the federal limit regulations that are established already. 130% for income below the federal poverty guidelines, and then about 2,250 in assets.
Okay, so I can see where some confusion might arise, even for the people who administer the programs, because from the federal filing, it appears that several different laws passed at different times speak to SNAP eligibility.
Yes.
All right, so we've got a situation then where there's a little confusion right off the bat about who's eligible. So tell me again. So what? Well, who would lose the broad-based categorical eligibility? In other words, get the SNAP benefits through TANF.
Yeah, let me try and simplify this a little bit, just to make it a little bit more straightforward. So the federal government has set up restrictions for eligibility at the national level. So we're seeing households that live below 130% of the federal poverty guidelines and have low savings that would qualify for the program. And so what BBE is, it's a state option to expand those benefits to other individuals who are receiving benefits through other programs, such as TANF. What it does is states are able to set the income threshold higher than 130% of the poverty guidelines, but lower than 200%. And they're able to either increase or eliminate this asset test. And so what that means is if a household has assets above the federal limit or savings, money in a savings account, for example, that happens to be above the federal limit, they may still qualify for SNAP.
So if it was a state option, then it sounds like some states had taken advantage of the program and did allow this and some didn't.
Exactly. So some states have to expand to the maximum, which would be 200% of the federal poverty guidelines with no asset tests, and other states have opted to just keep the federal restrictions in place.
Okay, so having run the numbers, do you have a ballpark figure or percentage of people who will lose SNAP benefits through this adjustment in federal regulation?
Sure. So about 8% of SNAP participants, what was estimated to be 3.6 million people on the 2016 caseload, would lose their access to benefits.
Oh, 3.6. Okay. That seems like a larger number than what shows on your interactive map.
So I think what you're looking at on the interactive map is actually, so it'd be 1.9 million households, which converts to about 3.6 million people. Ah. You mentioned a quarter of a million earlier in California, and that's actually household size. So the impact is more expansive than that.
Okay. Thank you for making that correction here, and I definitely appreciate it. So we're talking numbers of households then showing up in the interactive map. So when I mentioned 66,622 for Oregon and 195,922 for California, those are households multiplied by what, 2.2 or something?
About that. So it's about 120,000 in Oregon participants and then about 350,000 in California. And those estimates are based on 2016 numbers, so they might be a little bit lower since we've seen a trend of declining caseloads. But it's still a substantial number of participants.
So is there any transition zone here? I mean, is there a gray area where some people might get their benefits reduced, or is it simply, you know, beyond a certain number, poof, they just would lose their SNAP benefits?
Yeah, it is the latter. So since it is an eligibility restriction, they would just lose access to their benefits altogether.
Okay. And so there's no second category of people who might keep SNAP but at a lower dollar amount?
That is dependent on how they put in the rule. Since it's finished the proposal phase, they're debating how to make changes to it or whether to keep it as is. It's all dependent on what they decide before implementing any changes.
All right. We are talking again with Sarah Lawfer, a senior research program at Mathematica, which crunches numbers on a lot of different policy decisions and is in the process, has finished crunching the numbers on a change already proposed and inserted in the Federal Register to remove broad-based categorical eligibility so that people who are getting some non-cash TANF benefits, TANF being temporary assistance for needy families, would not also get food stamp benefits, SNAP, CalFresh, Oregon Trail, whatever you want to call it. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Questions, comments, welcome by phone or email. By phone, it's 800-838-3760. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. So we talked about across the country, we're talking 1.9 million households losing benefits, which 3.6 million people was the number you gave us. Is there so the distribution is not even though, Sarah. You show 16% of Oregon households losing SNAP, 10% in California, a bit more in some states, some with less, some with no losses. Can you explain why the map is a little bit of a patchwork?
Yeah, so that's the one of the biggest reasons why we wanted to put out this analysis is so that individuals and states can look and see how it impacts their region or how it impacts their state. Since BBCE is a state option policy, some states have opted for a more expansive policy, while others have opted for no changes. And so there are many states that don't have BBC, but it would not be impacted. And then there are states that are impacted up to 16-18%.
So that certainly puts Oregon one of the higher categories. It looks like Oregon and Washington are right up there at 15% or greater.
Yes. So Oregon's about 16% of their cases impacted, and Washington is the same.
All right, so we lost it again. There's a little bit of a VoIP garble there, but you were saying some states just don't have BBCE?
That's correct. So some states have chosen not to implement a BBCE policy and keep their restrictions for eligibility at the federal SNAP requirements.
Okay, so this explains why you got states like Missouri, Kansas, Arkansas, Louisiana. They probably never just offered BBCE at all?
That's exactly right.
Okay. So then what did the federal government, what's the reason given for the change here that they're no longer giving states the option to provide additional benefits to people who are getting temporary assistance, non-cash, to get the food stamp eligibility too? Is it part of work requirements or just to save money, or what was the rationale given by the federal government for moving this way?
So in the proposed rule, they released a few reasons for why they're pushing forward with these changes, and one of the biggest ones is to eliminate the confusion here and make it a standard across the board at the federal level. Another would be to, like you said, reduce the cost. So removing SNAP benefits automatically is a little bit more money into the system. You're not spending as much on providing those benefits. And I think another big reason is just to kind of set the threshold and keep it at that.
All right. So to make sure that any state is going to have the same rules about who's eligible for SNAP through whatever means.
Yes.
So is it a done deal? I mean, I know the comment period closed last week. So what are the next steps in the federal government implementing this rule change?
So the federal comment period closed last Monday. So after the close of the comment period, the administration has to review every single comment, really take those into consideration along with external analyses, along with research that's provided in order to decide on what changes to make to the program before implementing anything within the program. So it's in the debate stages right now. There's no telling how long that might take, whether or not it will be kind of a heated debate, we'll see. But once that period has passed, they will make and then those can go forth into the policy or the program.
When you say heated debate, are we talking about within the Department of Agriculture? Because this is just a rule change. We're not talking about actual legislation involved here, at least at the moment, are we?
That's correct. So it is just within the Department of Agriculture. But we're seeing a couple groups that have written letters, penned letters within the Senate and within state legislature groups, voicing their concerns or their support for the rule.
Okay, so I was going to ask you about what knowledge you had, if any, about comments, either by volume or by intensity, and it sounds like you're aware of some of them out there anyway, with groups that have contacted either the USDA or Congress or both.
Yes, so it sounds, last I heard, I think there were 75,000 comments on the rule. Those were not broken out by pro-con, just 75,000 total. And there is one pen letter that I'm aware of within the Senate right now. I think it's got about, I can't remember exactly, maybe 11 signatures on it, voicing concerns over the proposed rule.
So I know you crunched the numbers on this as far as the effects of this proposed rule change go, and I wonder if it also extended into a future tense kind of thing where you looked at what states might have to do to reallocate some money within their own poverty programs to make up for some of the people who would lose SNAP benefits under this proposed federal change.
Mm-hmm. So we didn't conduct that. We didn't conduct that analysis personally. I'm sure there are groups out there that have. But thinking of the trickle down effect of individuals being cut from food stamp benefits, it'll put some burden on local food banks. It will also put some burden on households to re-enroll their children in national school lunch and breakfast programs. They won't automatically be enrolled through SNAP at that point. It will also lead to some increased burden on staff within SNAP agencies. They'll have more paperwork to fill out, more steps and hurdles to jump through when trying to enroll individuals in SNAP. So we're seeing a distribution there. We have not done any analysis on what monetarily that would look like.
But that's interesting that there is some bumping into other programs. I mean, you mentioned that that some parents would have to re-enroll their kids in national school lunch and breakfast. So some families, you think, that had been getting SNAP benefits through BBCE then let lapse the school lunch program?
So a household that receives SNAP is automatically enrolled in federal school lunch and breakfast programs. And if they were to lose eligibility for SNAP, the students may still qualify for these programs, but they would have to re-enroll them through a different means.
Okay, so a different avenue of approach here. Okay, so we have an email here from Kevin, no town given, wants to know how the new rules on SNAP affect me. I am on SSI, Supplemental Security Income. Thanks for that question, Kevin.
Oh, that's a good question. I can't speak directly to the relationship between SSI and BBCE. So that would likely just have to do with the eligibility requirements that you have to meet under the SSI track.
Okay, but it sounds like if he's not receiving any sort of TANF assistance, non-cash, he might not necessarily be in this zone, or could he be still?
I think he would be receiving benefits through a program called SSI CAP, Combined Application Program, and likely would not be impacted by the BBCE rule change.
Okay. Either way, good question, Kevin, and it reminds us that people need to contact the office that they're getting their benefits from to see what the effect on them might be. What we're talking about here is a change in eligibility for SNAP, the food stamp program, because of tweaks tightening up to a federal standard on the TANF, Temporary Assistance to Needy Families program. The numbers have been crunched at Mathematica. Sarah Lawfer, Senior Research Programmer. Sarah, thank you for joining us on The Exchange.
That's great. Thanks so much, Jeffrey.
Take care.